You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness to share tips about all things that can support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself and build a bulletproof mindset to get whatever you want out of life. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. So we're about halfway through January now. I hope everybody is back on track with their nutrition, with their training, after a pretty heavy Christmas. I know I went a bit crazy myself, a bit too much food, too much alcohol. I've been doing those 7 a.m. workouts on Facebook on Monday mornings too. So thank everybody who's been joining me for those. It helps me get through them knowing people are there with me doing it, because it's not the thing I want to do at 7 a.m. on a Monday in the month of January. So a massive thank you to everyone who's been joining me and finding great benefit in those workouts. So today's one is going to be a Q&A, and I've pulled questions from my Instagram and from my Snapchat, and I'm going to touch on a little bit of everything today. We've got training in here, we've got some lifestyle stuff, we've got some work on immune system, nutrition, supplements, so a whole host of questions today. So I hope you get loads of value, and we'll kick it off with the first one. So first question comes in from Kate Philip Pot on Instagram. How can I boost my immune system? Recently, every time I train, I wake up sick the next morning. So I'm going to split this into two parts, because there's a couple of ways to answer this. Because one, when you are getting sick every time you train, and training is a stressor on the body, like you release cortisol and it's a stress on the body when you train, and your body doesn't know the difference between good stress and bad stress. So getting stressed out because you've got a deadline at work, or your boss or your partner shouting at you, and being in the gym. To your body, it's all the same in terms of cortisol release, in terms of how your body's dealing with stress. There's a great book called How Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, which talks a lot about stress, cortisol, and its effect on your central nervous system and your body in general in terms of your energy levels. It's Robert Sapolsky. It's one of my favorite books, particularly for anyone that suffers with high levels of stress through their lifestyle or their job, and they're just wondering what's going on a physiological level. And when you're getting sick every time you train, it's normally a sign that your stress is too high elsewhere in your lifestyle, and training is just putting you on the tipping point. So there's normally a couple of things to look out for here. One is going to be your nutrition. So if you're eating a poor diet, and when I say poor, I mean not getting high quality nutrient dense foods that gives your body the vitamins and minerals it needs to keep your immune system strong. You know, you can eat things like protein bars, your diet drinks, your microwave rice, and you can get into amazing shape as long as you're training hard and factoring them into your macros and you're fitting them into your system in alignment with your goals. But for your immune system, they're probably not going to be the best, because you're not getting all the vitamins and minerals and micronutrients that you need in order to keep yourself from getting sick. So the first thing I would look at is your nutrition. Are you eating a lot of high quality foods, good complex carbohydrates, your sweet potato, your oats, your brown or basmati rice, your healthy fats, your avocados, your nut butters, your oily fish, your complete proteins, your chicken, your fish, your steak, and then your micronutrients, so your vegetables and fruits. So assuming that you've got that on point and you've got all good quality foods and you're not under eating or massively calorie restricting, which can be a problem this time of year after Christmas period. Sometimes you can under eat because of the overeating at Christmas. I've been a victim of this in the past. It's the only way I can recognize it in people, because I did it, and that can lead to a weakened immune system. So what I would look at first is your nutrition, to make sure you're eating good quality dense foods. And then if that is all on track and that's not causing the problem, the next thing to look at is going to be your sleep. So your rest and your recovery. So there's some incredible studies coming back now through sleep quality. And when we drop into REM sleep. So for those of you who read my book, The Fitness Mindset, in the sleep section, your REM sleep is your rapid eye movement sleep. It's when your brain starts to download the day and processes all the information, and you go into 90-minute REM cycles. So one of the things I recommend to people, and this is one of the reasons the book got so much media in the papers and on TV and on the radio and on other podcasts, because of the section I put in there on REM cycles that helped me so much in clients I work with. And that's waking up after a REM cycle, not midway through one. So waking up on 6 hours or 7.5 hours or 9 hours. So you're waking up on those 90-minute cycles and you're feeling more fresh and you feel more recovered when you wake up, as opposed to waking up midway through a REM cycle where you're super groggy for the first hour and then need some caffeine or a stimulant to try and wake you up. So I would look at your recovery, because it's not so much the quantity of sleep you get as opposed to the quality. Like, you're better off getting 6 hours completely uninterrupted sleep than getting 9 hours of broken sleep where you're going to the bathroom or you're staring at the ceiling for 10 minutes or you're just not in a deep sleep. So looking at that, because as soon as you stop getting good quality sleep, your immune system is going to start to get suppressed and you get all these negative knock-on effects where you're reaching for stimulant drinks or sugar or glucosey foods. There's been the recent studies have shown, and again, studies change depending on what's being funded at the time, but the studies coming out at the minute through PubMed and different facilitators is our insulin resistance when we haven't had a good night's sleep is slightly worse the following day. So it means that you're more likely to reach for something sugary to try and bring your energy levels up. And a lot of people will be able to attest to having a lack of willpower the following day if you haven't slept the night before. I know myself, if I miss a good night's sleep and I've been have broken sleep or I've been traveling and I'm trying to get my circadian rhythm back, I always find that my willpower is lower those following days. So I'm reaching for chocolate or I'm reaching for ice creams when normally I would say no and I'd have it factored into my week. So making sure that you're getting quality sleep so that you're not reaching for stimulant-y foods and sugary foods the following day, which could be further decreasing your immune response in terms of suppressing your immune system. That's going to be the next thing to look at. Then the last thing really is going to be your training. So what can happen, and I've been a victim of this in the past, and particularly this time of year in January, when I've gone too crazy over Christmas and I'm trying to get back on track faster, overtraining can massively suppress your immune system as well. So it's very, very important that you find the sweet spot for your training and you don't run down your immune system just because you're trying to get weight down or body fat down faster because you overindulged at Christmas. And there's a couple of reasons for this. One is, as I said earlier, stress is cumulative. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Your body takes it in the same way and it responds in similar ways in terms of how cortisol is released in the body. So if you have too much cortisol in your body, it's the figurative death by a thousand cuts. And the start of that is your immune system gets suppressed. And then when you're overtraining and constantly pushing to the bar and pushing the wall to the limit every single time, you can end up getting sick because of things like glutamine depletion, which is one of the first amino acids that gets depleted in athletes that train at a high level or people that have a high training intensity or train for long periods of time. That's why a lot of people supplement their glutamine back in, because that amino acid gets deficient. You can be deficient in other minerals like your zinc, which again is another mineral that gets massively deficient in athletes. It's one of the first things I put in with a lot of GEA players I work with. If their energy levels are dropping or their sex drive is dropping or they're not sleeping, some form of zinc or ZMA. And then making sure that your training program is in alignment with your goals so that you're recovering properly. Like, it's great to do 2 or 3 hour sessions for 2 weeks and you're gonna feel like you've worked off a lot of your Christmas weight or Christmas body fat, but then if you get sick and can't train for 2 weeks, you go back to square one again. So if you're consistently getting sick, it's a direct feedback that your body is overstressed or your body isn't responding to something. So look at your nutrition, look at your sleep, and look at your training program, and then wherever it is that you feel you're out of alignment with it and that's why your immune system is suppressed, start fixing it one by one, and then before you know it, you'll be back having more energy, you'll feel better, your training will be better, your output will be better, and you won't be getting sick. Okay, next question comes in from X56 on Instagram. Does the length of rest time between sets matter if your goal is muscle building? So again, similar to the last question, I have a couple of ways in which I can answer this. The traditional science will show you that hypertrophy parameters is going to be your most optimal range for building muscle. So that's your 3 to 4 sets, your 8 to 10 reps, your 60 to 90 second rest, and then using, you know, 12, 16 to 18 sets per body part. And that is kind of the hardcore science that has been shown time and time again to be the best rep ranges and sets and rest times for building muscle, assuming your nutrition is good and you're eating enough calories to support the new growth of the new muscle you're trying to add, and you've got enough amino acids, particularly your essential amino acids, the ones your body can't make by itself that you need to get from food or supplements that can enhance your recovery and help you build more muscle. That being said, I'm a big fan of, obviously, I keep on track of as much of the new science as I can, but I'm also very, very aware that science changes depending on the studies that are being funded, the studies that are coming out, and it normally takes a few years for that tracking to come through and what's the most optimal. One of the extreme examples I use is that we once thought the world was flat, and then when Aristotle showed the circumference of the way that the moon shined on the earth, that it was probably spherical, and then we changed it to realizing the world was round. Science is very, very similar, and training is very, very similar. It changes. There was once upon a time when all knee injuries were thought to have a problem around the IT band, and that there was, to fix your tendonitis in your knee, you loosened up your IT band, which definitely gives it release, but isn't the long-term thought process now of fixing knee injuries or tendonitis. It's normally getting your glutes to activate, loosening up your hip flexors, and a range of other parts of your body that you need to get right in order to fix it long term. So science, particularly sports science, changes very, very rapidly. So I would stick within those parameters as much as possible, because that's going to improve your ability to build more muscle, but you may need to experiment with it. You may find that dropping down to 30 seconds because you're short on time gives you a more effective workout, allows you to put more tension on the muscle, and allows you to increase the quality of the amount of time that you're putting into your overall workout. So you may have a 30 minute workout with 30 second rest that you're working for 8 to 10 rep ranges, you're keeping tension on the muscle and tearing fibers back, and then you're repairing it with your nutrition, and that's helping you build more muscle because the quality is higher. You could be in the gym for 2 hours and doing the traditional 3 to 4 sets, 60 to 90 second rest, 8 to 10 reps, and being in the gym for 2 hours and not creating enough stimulation on the muscle to grow. So there is a optimal parameter to work within, and that's your 60 to 90 seconds for muscle building, but you may find that your quality is better with a shorter workout. So experiment with it, play around with it, and then check in and feedback. If you're doing that for 3 months and you're not building muscle as effectively and your nutrition is good and you're getting all the amino acids you need in order to repair and grow new muscle, then change up your system next time for the next 3 months or the next 6 weeks, and then whatever's working for you, double down on that. So take home message for rest periods, 60 to 90 seconds are probably going to be optimal, but there is no one size fits all. If there was, everybody would do that rest period and everybody would build muscle as quickly and as fast as they wanted. There's other things that come into play there, so experiment with it and then double down on what's working. Okay, next question comes in from Owen4 on Instagram. I just hit a wall and don't want to go to the gym this week. Should I push through it or take a break? So I've got two trains of thought on this, and ones that I apply myself and generally with people I'm working with coming through my programs. And that is whether you're hitting a wall is a mental hitting the wall or it's a physical hitting the wall, because how I deal with it is very different depending on how you're responding. So mentally hitting the wall is when you just don't feel motivated and you're like, oh, I physically feel great, my energy levels are good, I just don't want to go to the gym. And I normally do one of two things here. Either I push through it and I get a new playlist on my Spotify, or I get something that's going to ramp me up for the gym, even if it's a new pair of trainers or a new pre-workout or something that just gets me excited to go to the gym again, even if it's just a new routine. Normally for me, after about 6 or 12 weeks, I get really, really bored of my routine and have to change it up. So normally that's a mental hitting the wall. So I would advise, if that's the case, it's going to be one of two things. pushing through it and then just finding a new playlist or something that gets you motivated to go to the gym again, or switching up your program because you're bored. So changing up your stimulus can help get your motivation back. However, if it's a physical hitting the wall, that can be a sign of CNS fatigue, central nervous system fatigue, where your body feels like it's been hit by a bus and you just don't have any physical energy as such. That's when I take a deload. So I'll do one of two things here. And the general recommendation for finding out if you have CNS fatigue is, again, if your nutrition isn't great, if your recovery is not good, or you're just simply overtraining, you can get central nervous system fatigue. Normally, the first sign is one of two things. You either wake up in the morning and you don't ever feel recovered, and this happens consistently for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days, where you're waking up and you're just not recovered after sleep, or you have broken sleep during the night and just can't drop into deep REM sleep, or your sex drive plummets. Normally it's one of two of those things in both genders, with guys and girls. That's normally a sign that your CNS is starting to fry and it's time to deload. So I then do one of two things. I either deload my training, where I go in and consciously work at 60 or 70% of my normal working level, or else I take a complete break and I'll either switch up my training style. So if I'm in the gym a lot, I'll do more runs or swims or cycles, so I'm working more in my aerobic zone, and then I'll come back to it a week or 10 days later and normally I feel refreshed. Or I'll take a complete week off where I won't touch any weights or I won't do any physical exercise until my body gets back to that excited feeling of, all right, I need to do some exercise now. So I tend to play it depending on whether it's mental or whether it's physiological and a physical state that my body's in, and then make the decision based out of that. So I would ask anyone that's hitting the wall, if it's mental, push through it or switch it up. If it's physical, either deload, switch up your energy system. So going from anaerobic in your weightlifting to aerobic for runs or cycling or swimming, or taking a complete week off as a rest, and then that should push you past the wall that you're hitting. Okay, next question comes in from DFahy11 on Snapchat. Do you have any rest days? So there's been a little bit of a trend in this podcast episode, and I've been keeping the rest as a kind of a theme, and because it's really, really important that you structure in your rest depending on whatever your goals are. And I do take rest days. Personally, I always have at least one rest day, normally two and sometimes three. It varies week to week. I also try and factor in, if I'm taking two rest days during the week, one active rest day, and then I have one full day where I don't do anything physical and I just let my body repair and recuperate. Again, this varies person to person. It's changed at me over the years. I used to struggle to take rest days when I was in my early 20s and always paid the price because my immune system would be suppressed out the other side. I would start picking up every cold and flu that was going, and then I'd end up missing a full week of training because I got sick. So I now always structure in my rest days. Also, it's worth noting, and again, it's something that caught me early on in my training life, is you don't grow in the gym and you don't grow in your training. You get all of your body compositional change and your changing of your toning up or your building muscle or losing body fat all comes when you're resting. When you're in the gym, all you're doing is tearing fibers down so that when you come out of the gym and you eat and repair and recover, you're able to build back that lean muscle. The same for both genders, whether toning up or building muscle is your goal. Same thing applies. So I always factor in and structure my rest days around whatever my goals are at that moment in time. One of the things that I've used over the last couple of years to hack it is I change up what I'm doing during the week. So for those of you who follow my Snapchat or my weekly vlog, you'll see my workouts in there that they change up week to week normally, particularly now. Right now, my training priority is for the Marathon de Sable, the 256 kilometer self-sufficient race through the Sahara Desert in April. Everything I'm training for now is gearing towards that. So I'm doing a much more aerobic work and doing a lot more conditioning, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 kilometers a week runs, trying to condition my body in that aerobic zone so that I'm able to cross it over in the desert later on this year. So my training has changed from when I used to be a competitive bodybuilder, from when I was a professional fitness model, where I was doing a lot more direct ab work, way more hypertrophy, and I was doing a lot more HIIT cardio so I could stay lean. And it changed up depending on what my goals were, and my rest days were the same. When I was doing more bodybuilding work, I was able to train for 5 or 6 days because I wasn't stressing my central nervous system as hard as when I was training as a professional fitness model, because I was doing way more metabolic conditioning. The same as when I was playing GAA, I was doing a lot more gym work, higher in metabolic and strength and conditioning, and then high intensity work on my pitch days. So it was very important to structure in my rest, because you need to recover so that your performance doesn't take a negative effect. Right now, I'm doing 4 to 5 days a week, 2 to 3 rest days, and that's what's working optimally for me now. People I work with, it varies on each person's schedule. My top 50 program, where it's the 90-day variation of version of it now, people normally take 2 rest days. Some take an active rest day and a full rest day, and it varies on the schedule and lifestyle and the personality type and training history of each person. And then my GA players, again, depends on their pitch schedule. Some are doing 2-3 gym workouts a week on the pitch, 2-3 times a week, and then at least 1 full rest day and recovery, and then maybe an active one. But again, it depends on each person's nutrition, their recovery, their personality type. Some people feel less stress when they're training and doing something active. Some people need to take a complete deload where their weekends are completely off training, they're not doing anything physical. And it's not a case of what I do and copy me, because this is what's going to work for everyone. Play around with it. Your body is going to be your direct feedback. You know that your training program and your rest and your recovery is all on alignment and all on track. When you're getting a good response and your body's responding to whatever the goal is, you're losing body fat, or you're building muscle, or you're getting faster, or you're getting stronger, your energy levels are good so that your quality of life is high, you're not feeling brain fog, you're not feeling switched off because you're tired, and you just have a general feeling of well-being that's higher than it normally is. If any of those 3 things are off, it's normally your training, your nutrition, your recovery, or your rest that's not right. And it may be worth going back to the drawing board and evaluating, why is it that I don't have high energy? Why is it that I'm not responding? Why is it that I feel crap all the time? You know, then is your direct feedback on it may be worth changing something in your rest protocol, and then seeing what works best for you, and then doubling down on that and using that going forward. In the compound effect, it's a snowball. When you start a small snowball at the top of a hill and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it builds up all that momentum, that's the compound effect. When you find out what's working for your body in terms of training, nutrition, recovery, and rest, you could double down on that long term, and then you get better results faster over a shorter period of time because you're doing what works best for your body. Okay, next one. Is it true if I stop having sex that my performance in the gym will get better? Okay, so this is one that I can approach from a couple of sides, because I've read a couple of books on sexual energy transmutation, which is effectively the transfer of sexual energy into a more creative process, and it gives you more energy in your life through not ejaculating or not having sex for both genders, particularly for guys. It's in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. He has a full section in that book about some of the highest achievers in life having massively high sex drives, and when they've curbed it and controlled it, they've been able to create amazing things through increased energy that they'd have. And Jay Okinui, who has another book on sexual energy transmutation, which again builds off Napoleon Hill's philosophy and uses a little bit more case studies on people that have found that their energy increases when they're not having sex and their performance can improve. So that's kind of where the whole sex before games comes from. I remember in the 2002 World Cup, where Brazil beat Germany in the final, there was a big thing for the Brazil players where the coach wouldn't let them have sex before games, and they were attributing a lot of their energy and performance to the fact that they weren't having sex. The truth is, that whole sexual energy transmutation can't really be scientifically proven. It's one of those that's very much based off Chinese medicine and ancient philosophies of re-challenging creative energy that's used to create life, and then re-letting it build back up in your body, which can improve your energy, can improve your strength, and improve your performance. It's a little bit of a woo-woo thought process, but there are people who follow it and will swear by the fact that their energy and creativity improves when they're not having sex regularly, and that their performance in the gym or on the pitch or just their creativity in the office is better as a result. So I would ask the question, do you really want the trade-off? Because I know for me, And let's be fair, sex is an incredible thing, whether it's, you know, a casual hookup with someone that you're with or someone you're in a long-term relationship with. It's one of the best things that happens in a relationship when you've got a good energy with somebody. I don't know if I personally would be willing to take that trade-off of creative energy and performance in the gym over long-term delayed gratification of not having sex with my partner or the person I was seeing or my husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. I would be very clear on the fact that a lot of that philosophy is not scientifically backed, but is definitely worth experimenting with for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. See how you feel. Is your gym energy improving? Is your performance improving? Do you feel better? And a lot of tantra sex is a build up of rechanneling the energy of sexual energy back into the body. So anyone that's read anything on tantric sex, it's sex without ejaculation, and that's the whole idea of that sexual energy transmutation. It's just taking a bit of a step further, and people meditated to kind of hone the energy levels in their body. But again, you got to ask yourself, one of the reasons that people go to the gym, and I'm speaking as a guy here, you go to the gym to look better so that you feel better and that you're going to attract hotter chicks. Like some girls do the same, where they'll go to the gym, they want to feel better and feel more confident so that they can have a hotter boyfriend, or you'll have attractive people chatting to you or chatting you up. So you got to ask yourself on the trade-off, like, is going to the gym and spending 5 or 6 hours a week eating super clean, training super hard, and then actually not having anything out the other side in terms of the way you feel and towards the opposite sex, then by all means make that decision off you. But if you are doing it to feel more confident and to look better, and Richard Dawkins' book, The Selfish Gene, you know, an amazing read, and anyone that's into hardcore science, it's a little bit heavy in sections, but is an incredible read for understanding human evolution and that we're here to pass on our genes. And when you take away the fact that going to the gym and looking a certain way, unless there's something psychological that you need to trigger off in yourself and push your body to that limit over a short period of time, doing it long term, you got to ask yourself, is it worth the trade-off? So in terms of, will your performance improve? It could. There's been a little bit of case study work with more anecdotal people saying that their energy and creativity and performance has improved when they've reduced the sex, when they've reduced ejaculation, when they've practiced tantric sex or whatever it is. But you got to experiment with it with yourself. Maybe take 2, 3, 4 weeks away from sex, take a break, see how you feel, and then reevaluate it. I know I personally wouldn't take the trade-off, but again, each to their own. Experiment with it, see if it works for you. If your performance in the gym shoots up and you want to do that long-term and you don't care about with your long-term partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, husband or wife, then by all means make that decision. But I personally wouldn't take the trade-off, and a lot of it comes from that sexual energy transmutation. Check out Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, which has that whole section on whatever chapter towards the end of the book. And then Jay Okunewa has his book on it as well, which is worth a read. It's a short one. You'll finish it in a couple of hours, and it will just give you a little bit more knowledge on where that thought process of sex affecting your performance comes from. So that's everything in today's episode. A little bit of a theme with the rest, building your immune system, rest periods for building muscle, CNS fatigue, and then rest days. And then a little one just to throw it up at the end with sexual energy transmutation. So cut on a little bit of everything today. So hopefully you got a lot of value in this. If you're not checking out my vlogs on YouTube, be sure to check those out. They're out every Thursday. I've got all my workouts in there now as well. And you click the YouTube description, you can check out the workouts and try them for yourself. Doing the 7 a.m. workouts on Facebook on Monday mornings for the month of January as well. So be sure to check those out. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is all Brian Key Fitness. Website where all my programs are is briankeyfitness.com. My Snapchat's BrianK019. Massive thank you for listening. Catch you all next week. We'll